Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll just bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. This is the second part of the series. We started last week and we didn't have time to finish it and we weren't going to rush it, so we just closed the meeting. We're talking about our journey in 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter 1, chapter 2, 1 Peter 1, verses 22 to 25. And this part is all about love, and we talked about love last week. And we talked about three things about love. One, it comes from the soul. Second, it comes from the heart. But third, it can only be energized by the Word of God. Unless we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can never, never love the way God intended us to love. Only the agape love of God can be done through the Holy Spirit. And so we talked last week about the soul. And we ended up last week saying that, you know, our clothes wear out. And I give an illustration that we're going on holiday soon and Avril is going to Debenhams and she's going to drag me along because she says, well, my clothes have worn out. Now, I think these look okay. And all week I've been saying to Avril, they were good enough in 1962, they are still good enough in 2014. They're like the children of Israel, they've not worn out in the wilderness. But, and I ask you to pray that I wouldn't have to go on this shopping trip. I have to say you need to pray harder. Because it looks like it's going to happen on Wednesday. So, but Avril says, no, our clothes are wearing out. We need to get some new clothes. But you know, our soul doesn't wear out. An old woman, a very, very old woman, took a package to the post office. And she said to the guard at the post office, please, I'd like this mailed. And he said, well, it'll cost you £5 for a quick delivery or £2.50 for the slower delivery. This old woman said, listen, there's no hurry. Just make sure it's delivered in my lifetime, with a smile. And so the guy looked up and said, that'll be £5, please. But I want to tell you, people don't care about their soul. But we need to. Because death, when it arrives, and it surely will, for every human being, suddenly people will wake up on the other side wishing they had cared about their soul. God has given us a soul to live forever. How we choose to live with that soul is your choice. But God created that I might live in love, one towards another, and with a relationship with Him. And we discussed that last week. And God would go on to also to tell us that we have a heart. Now this is the heart. This is some things that the heart does. But I want you to know particularly number three. A lot of us don't understand that number three thinks that, you know, from our mind comes thoughts. But that's not what God says. God says from our heart. From our heart comes evil. From our heart comes adultery. From our heart comes stealing. From our heart comes thoughts about not liking one another. It's from our heart. The mind is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affection, purposes, endeavors of the understanding. It's the facility and seat of the intelligence of the will and character. And God refers to the heart as the seat of the will. And what does Jesus say? That Christ may dwell in your... Where does Christ want to dwell this morning? In your heart. That is the seat of your will. In other words, Christ wants us to love Him from a willingness to love Him. Your soul is a thing that's going to last forever. And hopefully, I'll tell you now, when you get to heaven, you will love Him. Trust me. That bit that's designed for 3 billion years from now will love Jesus. But God wants us to know that He wants our heart to respond to Him too. And the problem is we think that lots of things come from the mind. And since the heart cannot think, the context is that everything comes from our mind. But it is not true. The heart is not just the organ to pump blood. Out of the heart, said Jesus, comes your desire. We often sing a song, this is my desire. To what? And if it's true, it's coming from the... Sorry, my heart's over here, is it? although I might have two hearts. It's over, is it over here?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. I wonder when I'm singing, "This is my desire," in Hebrew, of course, I'm wondering whether this pump is pumping. I wonder, really, whether it's reflecting that desire and whether God's saying that's coming from the mouth. I wonder where the seat of our will is to love one another. Because God has said that in 1 Peter 1:22 to 25, that we are to love one another. A part of our journey in life is to be a family together where we love and support one another in times of good times and in times of bad times. We are a network in which we are supposed to be embodied in a family of God, loving one another. And we read 1 John chapter 4, and I would entreat you to go home now and read 1 John chapter 4. Becoming a Christian brings the DNA of Jesus. And the DNA of Jesus is that he loves everyone. I had the privilege of Sunday school, not school assembly. And we talked about this in school assembly. And unfortunately for Sarah, her young grandson had to sit and watch it. Quite a few of them know me at school. I used to be called the Potato Man, but now my name has been changed. I once did a sermon on potatoes, and everybody remembers the sermon on potatoes. And they used to shout out as I left school, "See you soon, Potato Man." But I'll tell you something. I said to them, "Well, you're better than my church audience, because I bet if I asked them what I spoke on last week, they wouldn't have a Scooby-Doo." There are four things we're going to quickly say. We're finishing early today because we need to do a presentation. But I want to tell you there are four things that we need to come from the heart. Let's just say this together, shall we? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all his goodness. God wants you to be filled with all his fullness. Isn't that lovely? With all his fullness. He wants you to know the love of God. It's his greatest desire that you and I just don't walk this Christian path as miserable, beaten down Christians, but we know the love of God. Not just the love that brings salvation, but the love of an eternal God. And so four things he sets out in this verse. Four things in this verse which are really most important for us. And the first one is that we have to be fundamental in our faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through. That's your fundamental. That is the very basis of how you came to know Jesus, through faith. One day, you came to an understanding you were a sinner before God, and you needed to put your faith in God. I've never seen God. Well, you might have seen God. I'm not saying some of you haven't seen God. I know that God is appearing throughout the world to Muslims and to lots of people. So I would never say that. I'm saying I've never seen God in the flesh. But Peter said in 1 Peter, we love him even though we've never seen him. We love him because we've took an act of faith, haven't we? We've made a decision that we are going to believe what the Bible says, and we're going to walk in faith, trusting and believing that when my soul finally comes to this part of the earth, it will be transferred to the next part of the earth. That's what faith is. It's believing what God has said. It's the fundamental, isn't it? You know, there was a guy in He happened to be preaching in Sunderland. It was just a coincidence. He happened to be preaching in Sunderland, and he was an atheist. And he was in the town square. He was really going about Christians and atheism and all this. And he was arguing with putting down this lovely young Christian boy. Now, this young Christian boy could neither read nor write. It was in the days when education wasn't as it is. And this atheist was giving him all this speech. And he says, "Over to you." And the little boy stood up and says, "Only your heart was as soft as your head, what a lovely Christian you would make. Only your heart was as soft as your head, what a lovely Christian you would make." It's not about the intellectual stuff, you know. It's about your heart being softened and knowing the love of God. That's all he said. And he walked off. Friend, as our hearts softened, is our relationship with God based purely on knowledge? Or is it based on the fact and reality of knowing God in our hearts? Is our fundamental is, I know I'm born again. I know I'm born again. I know that if something should happen today, I know that I know that I know that I'm going. Not because I have it up here, but because it's resonated in here. We struggle through the Christian life because we try to work things out from here. When God says the heart is the seat of the will, understand, trust the heart. Let God reveal himself to you. God wants you to understand that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He might dwell. The Greek word for dwell is a permanent resident stay. You see, if I was ever invited to Eunice's for a curry and I said, can I go and use your bathroom? And she says, yes, it's upstairs. And then 20 minutes later, she says to Katie, he's a long time in the bathroom. And Katie goes upstairs to see where I am. And I'm searching through her drawers. Do you think she's going to be very happy? But I'll say to Katie, well, you've invited me for a meal. I thought I had all the room in the house. That would not be true, would it? I think she'd be most upset because of all the stuff she shouldn't have. And the pastor's seen it. But I'll say, well, you wouldn't have a problem if your mum came up here. Well, she probably still would. But I mean, she would say, no, it's because my mum dwells here. She lives here. This is her abundance. This is where she resides. You're just a guest. And I wonder how many of us treat Christ like that. I wonder if we can honestly say Christ dwells permanently. I wonder if Christ is not just a guest in our life, but he has got a permanent dwelling to every area in our lives. I wonder if there's a room in our heart which just says, Jesus, you can't go there. I went on Friday night to the cinema and to watch God Is Not Dead. I thought it was finished, but apparently I was told it wasn't, so I went to Avalon. I spent our month's pocket money on this movie. I wouldn't let her have any crisps or anything like that. The cost of the movie was enough. But anyway, we went to this movie to see that God is not dead. There was only four of us in the cinema. It's great when you pick the whole row to yourself, isn't it? There was only four of us in. In fact, it said it started at 7:25, and at 7:50 the film hadn't started. And so Avril sent me out to the pictures to make sure we were in the right picture house. So I was sent out to see whether we were in the right movie. And I said, we are. It's half an hour late. Just obviously half an hour late in starting with all the adverts. Anyway, off came the movie. And if you haven't seen it, it's still on. And I recommend you seeing it. But it's about a young one boy who refuses to accept what the world says. Because you know why? He's not intellectual or anything. He has to do a lot of hard work to defend his faith. He knows it here. And I have to be honest with you, friend, when death comes, will you know it here? Or will you know it here? And if Christ is not a permanent fixture and a dwelling place to every area of your life, he needs to be so. So number one, our fundamental is that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And we haven't got long. The next one, though, second, is that you've been rooted and grounded in love. And the four F's to make it easy for you to understand. The first is fundamental. The second is fragrance. This Greek word here for rooted is as you would root a plant to produce perfume. In other words, your roots are so solid that your life produces perfume for the glory of Christ. Do you remember Mary who got on her knees with her hair and she wiped it with the ointment, and there was an aroma, there was a perfume that ascended into heaven? Well, God says that's the perfume that you should be, Channel 5. Chanel 5, or as I use David Beckham. And I went into school on Monday, and this school, the woman who lets you in, she receptionist, anyway, she lets you in to go into school, and she has this big picture up of David Beckham. And Nigel Traynor and me were in school, and Nigel Traynor says, "Oh, I've got the body of Dave Beckham," to her, in a joke. And I said, "Yes, and I've got the fragrance." And she turned around and said, "Yeah, but you haven't got the looks." And Nigel and I went in depressed. But I wonder if I've got the look of Jesus. I wonder if she said, "You know what, I could smell Jesus. I wonder if my fragrance, I wonder if I am so rooted in Christ, so deeply rooted in Jesus, that the fragrance of Jesus just fills people I meet." In all seriousness, I wonder if I am so fundamentally grounded that Christ has every area in my life. I wonder if I am producing so much fragrance for him that everyone can smell Jesus. The Bible says, and these people knew they had been with Jesus. They knew they'd been with Jesus. I wonder if we are loving one another as a church, in all seriousness, as a church, that the fragrance of Jesus fills this place. The third thing is grounded, and that means firmness. This is a Greek word which means as you would build a 25 to 30 story building, you need to have good solid foundations. I believe there was a huge problem, wasn't there, when you built this extension? When you first built the extension, I believe it took months and months because there is not a good foundation. Don't worry, we won't sink. Julie, you just rest on that side, love. Don't... But it's a strong foundation, Julie. I promise you. I didn't say Junior because you might have come up and hit me. But are we so firmly standing in our faith this morning that whatever the enemy threw at us, we would still stand? Amen. Seriously. We would still stand. These Christians who Peter's writing to were being persecuted. Some people were going into the Colosseum to be martyred and ate by lions. Some were going to be speared to death. Some were going to take their faith right to the very end of time because they were firmly rooted and grounded in the Saviour's love.
Amen.
Do you know today there are more people being murdered for Christ than in any other time in history? Did you know that? Do you know how many people will be murdered for Jesus today? The figures will astound you. Why are they going to their deaths? Because they firmly believe in the one whom they have loved. It isn't up here. It's right settled down in here. And that's why they love church. They love church because they know the only people they have got is their own brothers and sisters. They know that as soon as they walk out of that church, they could be arrested and murdered. So every time they get together, they're excited about being together. There's something in their DNA which says church is so important. I wonder, are our fundamental belief in God, whether our fragrance and our firmness, and the fullness, we're going to finish. The fullness of the love for the family may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. You see, God just doesn't want to give you half stuff. God wants to fill you. And he wants to fill you as a family. As a family. I'm going to just put these four things back up again. We have these four things as a church DNA. And I believe together we can rise. And I believe people will come and I believe the dry bones can come. But I believe as a church we need to grasp these fundamentals of these few verses in Ephesians 3. I wonder if my heart is fundamentally seated in Christ. I wonder if I'm producing fragrance. I wonder if I'm firm in my faith when those stormy winds blow. I wonder, can I say that I know the length, the height, the depth and the breadth of God? Because God wants to fill the whole family. He's not interested in one or two of us. that the whole family will be filled with his fullness. He wants everybody in this room to know the fullness of God's love. And he wants us to show that fullness of God's love one towards another. Must read 1 John 4. The greatest thing we can do as a church is not evangelize. The greatest thing we can do as a church is love one another. Because out of that love, the fragrance of God will flow. The fragrance of God will flow. We've just had the guy from Tyburn Mail. And we've just sat with a chap from Tyburn Mail for the last half an hour in the office before the service started, telling him why we want him to give us some space in his Tyburn Mail every month so that we can talk about Messy Church. Why do you want to do a Messy Church? Because I want the fragrance of God's love and this family to be shown into the community. And we started to tell him about faith and fun and all the things we're going to do in Messy Church. And he's going to give us a free one for next month, and then he's going to start charging us. We don't know the final price. I think £30 is one quote. We might be able to go down a bit cheaper. I don't know. All I know is that we have an avenue to go into the paper. We need to make sure that we search our hearts to see what is right on this. But I want the community to know that we're doing Messy Church. It's going into all the schools. We're going to try and update it. Why? Because we want God's love to be shown to the community. It's not my job to save people. God said, go and make disciples. He never said, go and make salvation. Only Jesus saves people. But Jesus said, all men will know that you belong to me when you love one another. And the final thing Peter says we need to understand is we need to understand the Word of God. We do need to understand the Word of God. John 1 says, in the beginning was, and the Word was, and the Word, the same was in the beginning. John is letting you know that every time the word is used, it's not speaking about a word, it's speaking about a person. I want you to know that the Word denotes a person. And every time we read the Bible, we are reading about a living, dynamic person. That is what we read about. And through the Holy Spirit, as He enters our spirits and engages as we read the Word, He will bring that Word to life, and that life will set you free. It is the only way it works. It works when you read the Word of God. You allow the Holy Spirit to manifest that Word. And when that happens, you bring life to your soul. But too many people won't read this. You want to grow in your spiritual life, if you want to have a fundamental fragrance, fullness and faith, then you need to read the Bible. Stalin in 1920 ordered all Bibles to be purged. He wanted to get rid of them completely. And in 1994, a young Russian soldier went into a town where he was said that every Bible had been destroyed. And they found a warehouse. And in that warehouse, guess what they found? And he picked one of the Bibles up and he went to one end of the room to have a look inquisitively into this Bible. And when he opened the Bible, it was his great-grandma's. Coincidence? No. Out of the thousands of Bibles in that warehouse he found, the one he picked up was his great-grandma's. And because it was his great-grandma's, he started to read it. And the truth set him free. God's not dead. You'll never destroy the Bible. A new commandment I give you, you love one another as I have loved you. Perhaps it would just be a great way to finish about love with this story. It's 10 to 12. And this is a true story. A newspaper told the story of a boy who was suffering with cancer. And he was going through chemotherapy. He'd lost all his hair. To show their love and support, all his classmates in school shaved their heads so he wouldn't be embarrassed about coming back to school. The newspaper went to talk to the pupils of the school. And one boy said, our motto is simply this: everything we do together. Everything we do together. What a wonderful philosophy that is, isn't it, for Christians? That Urgent Ealing Church may not have the greatest number of people, may not have the greatest finances, certainly haven't got the greatest pastor, and but everything they do together. There's a fragrance pouring out of her Dunedin church that shows the love of Jesus. There's a firmness and a resolution in their hearts that says they know that they know and that they know. There is a fullness amongst them where love is shared equally and unequivocally. I wonder if we can be like that boy. Can you imagine going into school that morning? Every person in the class, hair was shaven to represent the love they had for that boy who was dying with cancer. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. I'm going to conclude with this verse. Bible says it's not that we loved him, but that he loved us, and he gave himself for us.